try to sing this one.
Bless her, Father. Bless her. Help them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Coming soon, Jesus, and all is
good. Bless them, Lord.
Today is the game.
Bless them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Y'all excuse me, I have to sit down. I can't really stand up and do anything anymore. But I want to do what little I can for the Lord.
Amen.
I know it's not a lot, but I try each day.
Yeah, amen.
To go to Him in prayer.
Every
night.
Amen.
And I know He's going to see me through all this.
Amen.
I know I'm having a lot of sickness and stuff right now with this whole body.
Bless.
But when my time comes to go, I know where I'm going.
That's right. Amen.
Bless the Lord.
I need little as much when God is at.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what the sun's going to listen this morning. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, it's
better than the great treasures of the...
I made a joyful noise this morning.
He sure did.
Let me get that cup. There's one down the floor. Watch this effort.
Father, looking at that song, you know, I look at the wickedness of this world and how wicked it's become.
Yeah.
One dose of Jesus will cure it all.
Amen.
And I don't know why people don't open up their mouth and say, Lord, give me some.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the day, praise God, when He does make that difference. Amen. It just seems like it just keeps getting worse and worse. Children can't play in the front yard. End up being found dead. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yes,
the wickedness that's being promoted in our country. And this country used to stand 10 foot tall for God. And I appreciate that song. He is coming soon. Amen.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be long now.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Georgia.
Yeah, we see in part, know in part.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't even do anything with the part we do see and know. Amen.
That's right.
Good singing, good songs.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 16, I'm not preaching from there, I'm preaching from Jeremiah chapter 19. But in Luke chapter 16, verse number 22, it mentions about two people dying. One of them's carried by angels, the other's buried.
Yes.
I'll take the first.
Amen.
If you want the latter, help yourself.
That's right.
But amen. I'm glad, praise God. If you want to, you can have a heavenly escort. I'll take you home. And you can enjoy the things of God here and there.
Amen.
Bible talks about enter thou into the joys of the Lord. That sounds like a pretty good place to be.
Yeah.
Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration saw the Lord in His glory. And they said, Lord, this is a good place to be. And you know, they wanted to stay there, but we can't stay here. We got to go there.
That's right.
Well, anyway, before I preach this morning, like I said, you can be opening up your Bible to Jeremiah chapter number 19. I think I'm going to read the whole chapter. But I want to read something before I do. I want to read something out of this book I brought. It'll go along with what they just sung right there about to die is to gain, which that's what Paul said, for me to die is gain, for me to live is Christ. And I got my Bible open there. I'm going to read something out of this book right here. This is my wife's book. It's called Voices from Eternity. I've been commenting on it for quite a while, and I slipped out with it this morning. Next time y'all see me, if I'm scalped, you'll know she found out I had this book. She guards this book. She don't let it go nowhere. I've got me one ordered. I ordered it off eBay for $5, and I'm hoping it's going to be just like this one. This book is called Voices from the Edge of Eternity, compiled by John Myers. And a lot of these go back to the 1800s. However, the one I'm going to share with you this morning is the first one written in the book. And it took place, I think, in 1947 was when it was copyrighted. It may have actually happened. I'm not sure exactly when it did happen. But this here is an excerpt from this book, Voices from Eternity. If you'll listen attentively, it'll help you. I'll read it the best I can. It says, a dying girl's amazing triumph over death. And the story is titled, I Want to Be Aware of Every Sensation. This story is told by Natalie Kalamus, K-A-L-M-U-S, who helped found and organize the Technicolor Motion Picture Corporation. And at the time of this writing, she was in complete charge of color for all the pictures here and abroad made by Technicolor. Now, the story is about her sister. And her sister writes her, and here's what she says, don't worry, but come to me as soon as you can. My sister, Eleanor Smith, wired. At the time, I was in London working out telecolor problems with one of the British motion picture companies. I felt a deep, numbing pain. I knew Eleanor had been ill sometime. Surely this was her gentle way of telling me the end was coming. I could not picture or accept it. Always radiant in charm, friendliness, and an inner happiness, my sister had been a wonderful inspiration to those close to her. That's what we ought to all be.
That's right.
She had that rare trait of always giving others a pat on the back, lifting their spirits, and sending them off with a fresh outlook on life. When first stricken by the most fearsome of medical enemies, the doctors told her that her days were numbered. Now, all of y'all would probably be like me. You'd be gloom and doom. But it wasn't true with this young girl. Knowing this had not made the slightest difference in her warm interest in people, nor in her deep abiding faith in the wonder of God. But now she needed me. I returned to the States and hurried to Eleanor, expecting to find her in a bed in great pain, instead more like a schoolgirl of 17 than an incurable ill woman. Natalie, she held out her arms joyously. I'm so happy now that you're here.
Yeah.
Well, we need to make time for those that are dear to us.
That's right.
She held out her arms joyously. I'm so happy now that you're here. We have so much to talk over. To anyone listening, I might have dropped in for a casual call. After Illinois had later retired for the night, the doctor drew me aside. Miss Calamus, he said, I think that it will be a most trying experience for you if you stay here through to the end. I'm afraid that your sister's last hours will be an agony of pain. Now remember, doctors are practicing physicians, and they mean well, but they're not always right.
That's right.
So bear with me in this.
Amen.
Medically, I knew he was right. Yet the exquisite radiance I noticed in my sister's face seemed somehow to refute his statement. The strange feeling swept over me that the strength of my sister's spirit could well triumph over her pain. During the next few days, I discovered that Eleanor was doing many things to baffle the doctors. And I'd say that's what we should try to do, leave behind a testimony.
Yes, that's right.
They were preparing her for some grim final moments. She was ignoring their solemn suggestions and remedies. One night she had me sit down on the side of her bed. Natalie, promise me that you won't let them give me any drugs. I realize that they're trying to help relieve my pain, but I want to be fully aware of every sensation. I'm convinced that death will be a beautiful experience. I promised. A long later, I wept, thinking of her courage. Then I tossed in bed on through the night. I realized that what I looked to be a calamity, my sister intended to be a triumph. One afternoon, Eleanor, in the most airy and lighthearted manner, asked several friends to a dinner party, which she, on the spur of the moment, decided to hold. I was stunned, but Eleanor grinned at me impishly in high spirits. The sight of the happiness in her face checked my objections. On the night of the party, Eleanor dressed meticulously, concealing the pain I knew she felt. We helped her downstairs before the guests were ever to arrive. Sitting in a turquoise chair in her yellow evening gown, she sparkled with life. And again, I noticed the schoolgirl look on her face. The party was a grand success. The guests were never once aware of the sickness which my sister concealed so expertly. That night, however, when she was carried to bed, her deep physical weariness appeared on the surface. Then I realized that my sister knew this was her last social fling. She had planned it that way. 10 days later, the final hour drew near. I had been at her bedside for hours. We had talked about many things, and I always marveled at her quiet, sincere, confident in her eternal life. Not once did the physical torture inside overcome her spiritual strength. This was something that the doctors simply hadn't taken into account. Dear kind God, keep my mind clear and give me peace, she had murmured over and over again during those days. We had talked so long that I noticed she was drifting off to sleep. I left her quietly with the nurse and retired to get some rest. A few minutes later, I heard my sister's voice calling for me. Quickly, I returned to her room. She was dying. I sat on her bed and took her hand. It was on fire. Then she seemed to rise up in the bed, almost to a sitting position. Natalie, she said, there are so many of them. There's Fred, and then there's three dots, I guess the three other people she named. And then she said something, and Ruth, and a line, what's she doing here? Oh, I don't know. An electric shock went through me. She had said Ruth. Ruth was her cousin who had died suddenly the week before, but Eleanor had not been told of Ruth's sudden death. Chill after chill shot up and down my spine. I felt on the verge of some powerful, almost frightening knowledge. She had murmured Ruth's name. Her voice was surprisingly clear. It's so confusing, so many of them. Suddenly her arms stretched out as happily as when she had welcomed me. I'm going up, she murmured. And then she dropped her arms around my neck and relaxed in my arms. The will of her spirit had turned to final agony.
the final agony into rapture. As I lay her head back on the pillow, there was a warm, peaceful smile on her face. Her golden brown hair lay carelessly on the pillow. I took a white flower from the vase and placed it in her hair. And with her petite trim figure, her wavy hair, the white flower and the soft smile, she looked once more and permanently like a schoolgirl. Never again will death frighten me in any way. Whew. This was my sister's inheritance to me. Her final beautiful gift. I had seen it for myself. How thin was the curtain between life and death.
Yeah.
I had glimpsed part of the wonderful truth about everlasting life. This was printed in, this testimony was printed in 1947. There's some in here back in the 1800s. But I tell you what, Peter said, I'm thinking, met brethren, while I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up.
Yeah.
By way of remembrance, boy, that reminds me of what the Lord said. He said, fear not. He said, let not your heart be troubled.
Right.
And you know, we're here. Sometime we're here day and gone tomorrow. Sometime we're here day and gone today. And I want to direct our attention now to the Word of God. I want to share that with you. Jeremiah chapter number 19. I'll read the whole chapter. I'll read as quick as I can. Actually, I was going to read just part of it, but some of us read so little Bible, we need some Bible. So I'll read the whole chapter to you. Thus saith the Lord. And let me say this, Jeremiah was a great prophet. God had told him up front that he was never going to win no souls.
Right.
And he was a weeping prophet. He wept because he loved him. He wept because he cared of him. But thus saith the Lord. He's a prophet. He's prophesying. Thus saith the Lord, go get a potter's earthen bottle and take it of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it to my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet. I guess that's the way you pronounce it. That's mentioned five times in this chapter. Nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of them that seek their lives. And their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Every one that passes thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. And they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend and the siege and the straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. Then shalt thou break this bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet. I guess that's the way you pronounce it. Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord. and to the inhabitants thereof, even make this city as Topheth. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Topheth, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Then came Jeremiah from Topheth, whither the Lord had sent him. Then came Jeremiah from Topheth, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all its her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. Yeah. We'll stop our reading right there. I'm preaching today on how bad will it get. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for the precious day You've given us. Lord, we realize even right now that many didn't get to enjoy this day. They died during the night, or they woke up this morning a corpse. Thank You, Father, for these that are here this morning for the Word of God. Lord, we just pray, God, You'd set a table before us, Lord, that we might be able, Lord, to receive from Your Word the things that we need for the hour in which we live. We understand these times, Father. We understand their perilous times. We understand, Father, Lord, that evil forces are working hard to deceive people and to defeat their purpose. But I pray, God, today You'll give us ears to hear and a heart to receive and eyes to see the great truths and the great treasures that are in Your Word. And we'll thank You and praise You for whatever You do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me recap real quick some things that I read for you. In verse number 3, talk about ears tingle. God got attention. Then you look down there in verse number 4, it mentioned about the apostasy. They're turning from the real God to false gods. You look on down, it's got mention of the blood of the innocents. Made me think about the abortions going on today.
Yeah.
And then you look down in verse 5, and it talks about they're burning their sons to Baal in the fire, the abominations of the day. Verse 6 talks about the death. Verse 7 talks about the destruction. Verse 8 talks about the desolation. And verse 9 talks about the desperation, that they'll be willing to eat the sons and their daughters and even the flesh of their friends because they'll be that desperate. And you know, it don't have to be that way. And after Jeremiah gave the words of this prophecy, we'll look into that next chapter just a little bit. Now Peshar, the son of Immer, the priest, I may not say his name's right, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Peshar smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Everybody don't like the Word of God. You know what Jeremiah told Peshar after he smote him? He said this, "Then came to pass on the morrow that Peshar brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord have not called thy name Peshar, but Magar, Mishmael, tear on every side." Peshar means prosperity, and he changed his name to tear on every side. Hey, look, don't blame me. I'm just a messenger boy. If old brother Eddie rocks your boat, it's not my fault. It's because there's something wrong with your boat. I come to preach a good message. Yeah, I've come bringing glad tidings. I know everybody's paying attention. A lot of people are panicking. They're cleaning the shelves off in the stores. A lot of them are canceling church today. I'll tell you what, there never was a time to gather in the house of God. It seems like the things are going wrong. Everything's together. And the Bible does tell us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see that day approaching. Just you being here exalts me, encourages me, and I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you, no matter how bad it gets.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm not Superman. As a matter of fact, I'm not even much of a man.
but I am a man.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have any gender issues. Amen. I get no greater thrill, Brother Michael, than going to a restroom and it's actually got a sign of men's restroom.
Yeah.
Or it's got the similitude of a man and he ain't got a dress on. And I know I'm in the right one. You know what I mean? We've come down to a day of confusion.
Yeah.
We've come down to a day, but I'll tell you what, when people are messed up, God's not the author of the confusion. He set everything right. He done everything right. And then man come by and messed it all up. And every problem we've got today is a man-made problem.
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's
right.
Our new governor is trying to pass a House bill. Raise the price of gasoline 35 cents a gallon. I don't want it, don't need it.
Nope, that's right.
He's trying to double the registration fees to license your vehicle. I don't want it, don't need it.
Nope.
He's going to fine you. I think he said you'll be fined if you got an electric car or a hybrid car. Don't that defeat the purpose of Save the Planet?
Yeah.
I know we're supposed to be going green, amen. I think the green he's talking about this kind of green day, man.
That's right.
Well, anyway, all of that stuff right there, these are troubling times. I agree with that, but God's still on the throne. Hey, he's the same yesterday, today, and evermore. He's the same. He's not taking a baby aspirin. Hey, he's not even thinking about getting saved. I want you to know, he's the Lord God that healeth us. He's the one that'll never forsake us. He said, Lord, I'm with you even to the end of the world. I'm with you, amen.
Yes.
Boy, I tell you what, having Jesus close makes me more of a man than what I was before I got saved. I thought I was a man, I'll tell you, but I was a poor excuse for a man.
Amen.
Let me say this about Jeremiah. I'm not a prophet, I'm a preacher. But a prophet, they were able to see into the future.
Amen.
And they would proclaim things, Brother Mitchell, that hadn't came right. yet.
Amen.
But it's going to come.
Right.
Now, if he was a true prophet, the things would come to pass.
That's right.
If he was a false prophet, they'd take him out and stone him.
That's right.
Because that's one reason Jonah got mad. He proclaimed that Nineveh was going to be overthrown in 40 days, and he complained to God about it. If you read it there in Jonah chapter 4, he said, I knew you'd pardon him. I knew you wouldn't destroy him. But here he was. He prophesied yet in 40 days. Then it will be overthrown. And to his amazement, and you know, known to God, I guess, 120,000 souls that didn't know their left hand, their right hand, put on sackcloth and ashes and repented. And God spared Nineveh. And Jonah got mad. Amen. I met a lot of preachers. You know, let me say this about preachers being one myself. Jesus took upon himself no reputation.
Yeah, that's right.
Took on himself form of servant.
Right. Amen.
You name me another preacher. They try to make a big name of themselves. Dr. So-and-so got so many degrees, you call them a Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
They got their ministry. Hey, the ministry of the Word of God. I'm a preacher of the Word of God.
Yeah.
I claim none other than Jesus Christ, Him crucified.
Hey.
Paul said his life was hid in Christ. My advice to my fellow brothers, preachers, I mentioned a while back about Elizabeth preaching. I'll tell you right now, if I'd been there, I'd amen that kind of preaching. When she got to bragging on the birth of Jesus in the womb of Mary, man, she got anointed when John the Baptist kicked in the mother's womb with joy, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she cut a pretty good shine. If I'd been there, I'd amen every word. I'll tell you right now. Somebody said, you believe women preach? I believed in that one. I'll tell you right now, she preached a pretty good message.
Amen.
I mean, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Oh, Lord, I forgot exactly how it went. The mother of my Lord has come, or something like that. Anyway, let's get on the message here. Good Lord. The prophets were able. They were able to see in the future, and they delivered messages that people should have gave the most earnest heed to. And just like this message that Jeremiah delivered, instead of repenting, instead of receiving, they beat him and put him in prison. Amen.
Yeah.
Now let me say this. I'm just a preacher. However, as a preacher,
I do have a more sure word of prophecy. I just want you to know that I'm not in darkness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, 21. We've got a more sure word of prophecy. You do well to hearken unto us. The day is shining in darkness.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you right now, we've got a more sure word. Those prophets, sometimes it wasn't true what they said. Sometimes they were false prophets. You look at those prophets and gave Ahab advice. And you know what? He didn't take the advice of the true prophet. Amen. Amen. And disguised himself, went out to battle. And a certain man let an arrow go. And Ahab was over there in that arrow.
Amen.
And struck him right between the back of a harness of his armor.
Yeah.
And he died. Did fulfill the word of God. I'll tell you, we got a more sure word of prophecy that we ought to do. Well, we ought to give the most earnest heed to.
That's right.
The Bible said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength indeed is small. Proverbs 25:10. And you know what? We are going to have troubles. The Bible said, I'll knock everything off up there. Jesus said in the world we'd have tribulation. He said, yet be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We're overcomers through Him. And you know what? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, knowing the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren. You know what? Peter said, think of that strength concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing. I mean, it's just in the norm. We're saved, but we're not super. I'm just good and saved. I tell you, no matter what, either the angel's going to come and take me home.
Amen.
I'm going to go on another day.
Yeah.
Right.
We sing that old song. Maybe it's you, and then maybe it's me, who'll be the next to face eternity. When the day has come and gone, He will take somebody home. Maybe it's you, and then maybe it's me. Don't weep at my funeral. I made preparation against that day. I'm not good to go. I'll be glad to go.
Yeah.
I'll leave right now. Hey, if I had a choice to matter better, Jerry, I'd say, if you don't care, finish this service, but I'm gone. He'd cross the floor, he'd come out there and say, he ain't here. He ain't here, is it? Amen.
Amen.
Going up, I ain't going down. Hallelujah. Hey, God has not given us spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. The reason for that is fear brings torment. But perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus, in order to comfort His disciples, He said, let not your heart be troubled. John chapter 14, verse number 1. He went on to say in John chapter 14, verse number 18.
Right.
He said, I will not leave you comfortless.
That's right. Yeah.
He said, I will come to you. I'm glad He still makes house calls.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, I'm out laying in bed one night. I woke up kind of early in the morning there, but I felt the presence of God. I said, good morning, Lord.
Yeah.
And I had to admit, Lord, no wonder the Bible said in Psalms 46, verse 10, be still and know that I'm God.
Yeah.
I sat there in the presence of the Lord. Had me a little over on me, just a childlike prayer, enjoyed the presence of God. I never felt so good in all my life. Hey, it was good to lay there in a warm, cozy bed, but it was even better to know the Lord was there. Amen.
Yeah.
Right. I'll tell you right now, buddy, we're in good hands when you're nail-scarred hands.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
I don't know how bad it's going to get.
No,
I just know one thing. God's greater than anything the devil throws at us. Amen?
Right.
I was sharing some stuff with a man in Sunday school this morning that really hadn't caught my eye. I mean, I kind of got on the slow train. But when I got it, it was good.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. In Romans chapter 3, I can quote the verse, but I want to make sure I'm quoting the right verse. I think it's verse 33. I might not be right, so let's go there real quick. I want to throw that in here in this message. It might be some comfort to somebody out there that's struggling in certain matters.
Right.
But in Romans chapter 3, and I told the man, I got this, you know, Paul said I'll come to Revelation. Well, I kind of got it like that. But in Romans chapter 3, if you'll look over there in verse number 26, I'm glad I did turn, because I do want to give the right references. And if you'll look there, and I just want to mention the part that makes the point I'm trying to make. Look in the middle of that verse. Well, let's read it all, Brother Eddie. To declare at this time His righteousness. Now, you see them double periods?
Yeah.
Look at this. That He might be just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now listen, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Somebody said, how could God pardon that through Jesus?
That's right.
How could God make an exemption? Or how could God make an exception? That's what I was trying to spit out. See, he's a just God.
Yes, he is.
Matter of fact, Abraham asked him, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yeah, he will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just so you'll get what I'm saying, turn to Romans chapter 11 real quick. Then we'll get back to preaching. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8. I went too far. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 33. I said 33 a while ago. I was a partial right.
Yeah.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Look at those words. It is God that justifies. He's going to justify me.
Right.
And He's just to do it through the mercy shed abroad through Christ from the suffering sacrifice of Calvary.
Yeah.
I just want you to know He can be just and the justifier of Him. Don't do right.
That's right.
I got a good lawyer.
Yeah.
You read in 1 John chapter 2, my little children, I would that you sin not, but if you do, we got an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus. I just want you to know, I wish you did do right. But if you don't, God's still going to be just. He's still going to justify you. And I could quote you some more, but I wanted to share that with you. But listen, fear brings torment, and perfect love casteth out fear. That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the bad real quick. So bad, this highly contagious coronavirus has affected sports. It's affected schools. It's affected vacations. It's affected churches. It's affected government. It's affected Hollywood. Tom Hanks and his wife got it. It's affected the homes in America. And listen, there's panic going on. And you know what? This virus, it's not racist. It's not gender neutral. It's not political. It's never, it's no religious. It threatens all in the same way. Italy's completely shut down right now. It's causing all kinds of problems. It's causing people to panic and clear out the products on the shelves. Listen, planes are grounded. Plans are canceled. Concerts are canceled. Races are canceled. Debates are canceled. Games and even churches are told to stay home. Doctors are dying. Lawyers are dying. Psalms 39 verse 4 says, Lord, help me to know how frail I am. Psalms 39 verse 4.
Yeah.
This threat is real. I won't diminish from that. But the reaction, if for a child of God should be one, should not be one of fear. Jesus, when He was threatened with death from King Herod, they said, Herod will seek thee and kill thee. You know what Jesus' answer to that threat was? He said, you tell that fox that I cast out devils, I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I will be perfected. Luke chapter 13 verse 32. That's a pretty good answer for a child of God.
Right.
He said, you go tell that fox right here I am. If he thinks he's big enough, tell him come on down. He'd probably got saved if he had it. Hey, listen, those three Hebrew boys told King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you. Daniel chapter 3 verse 16. And they said, we're not bowing neither. And Daniel, when he was told that he couldn't pray, he didn't quit praying. In Daniel chapter 6 verse number 10. Hey, listen, I'm not quitting. And you don't need to neither. I know the threat's real. I know it's bad. We don't know who all's going to be affected. We don't know what's going to be the outcome. I just know one thing. I lay hold on eternal life. You'll refuge your soul and you're good to go. No matter what comes your way, we're more than conquerors through Him, amen.
Amen.
More than conquerors.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but I sleep pretty good.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
I didn't. Before I got saved, I can remember as a little boy, afraid to close my eyes, Carol.
Right.
I was afraid that I wouldn't wake up in the morning.
Right.
To be honest with you, I was afraid of where I'd wake up.
Yeah.
If I did.
Right.
If I didn't make it in the morning. I don't have that fear no more.
Amen.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
Man, I got a refuge my soul. Sure and steadfast, an anchor that can't be moved. I've anchored my soul. Oh, somebody wrote a song.
Amen.
I've anchored my soul and how true that is. I'm glad there's an anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast. I want want you to know, if you can get to Jesus, He can fix whatever kind of problem you've got. But the biggest problem I have, I need to get saved. Man, he done it so good, I let go of it again, Brother Mitchell. I really was. My pastor told me, he said, you let go somewhere else, Brother Eddie. We only do it one time over here. But I tell you what, buddy, I remember the day I got saved. I mean, I was lost and undone. Hey, listen, I had an uncertain future. I don't you know, buddy. I was seeking, and in many ways, I was seeking the wrong way.
Yeah,
but I went to the right church. And heard the right message. Heard the word of God from a man of God. I want you to know, buddy, my knees got to knocking. And I started seeking where I might be able to find Him. Come to save sinners. No, I felt like I was the chiefest of sinners.
Yeah.
But oh, listen, today I got saved.
Bless you, Lord.
April 27th, 1988. Out there, 9,000 in the room, back here in my back bedroom, back there. Kneel down. Called upon Him, which rich mercy, all to call upon Him. Didn't know how to pray, Patrick. I didn't know anything. I knew one man knew was lost. Somebody told me, said, Eddie, Jesus loved you. Said, Eddie, if you just ask Him, He'll save you. He gave me this illustration, Michael, best I ever heard in my life. He said, if your little boy done something wrong, come to you, said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, I'd forgive him. Mm-hmm. He said, same way with God.
Amen.
He said, just come to him and tell him you're sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I did, Michael? I knelt down there and I said, dear Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me that if I'd ask you to forgive me my sin and save my soul, I said the best way I know how right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. And glory to God, all my guilt, all my condemnation left immediately, and the peace of path of understanding took its place, and the joy of people flooded my soul so much I got one look in the mirror. That's what it is. I tell you what, I'd go through it again if I could. Man, I told my mom I got saved. She said, when you get home, look up the word fanatic. That's what you are. It's still true today. Amen. I don't deny the charge. I wish I was more guilty of it. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't know how bad this thing's going to get. I know the world's not ready for it. The same God that told Jeremiah to go pronounce this terrible prophecy upon these people. America's in the same boat. America's got a deaf ear. America's calloused in its heart. Do y'all remember back when the Twin Towers fell? How quickly, buddy, they got up and headed to the house of God.
Yeah.
The policemen couldn't even stop the traffic jams of people trying to wonder if this was the end of the world. It's going to be just like that if this keeps on going.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how many people's going to die. I don't know how many people's going to survive. I don't know any of that. I just know one thing. You can be ready. Thank you. Thank you so much. You can be ready.
That's right.
You know, if you can just get to Jesus,
yes,
He can fix it.
Yeah.
Man, He's a great physician. Never charged me a penny, Brother Jerry. Man, He not only made me whole, I feel like I owed Him something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I owed a debt I couldn't pay.
Right.
He paid a debt He didn't owe.
Right.
Oh, my. How wonderful it is to know the debt's been paid.
Yeah,
how wonderful it is to know that not only you got a home in heaven, but you know who inhabits heaven. And you know, if I was to ask y'all know President Trump, y'all all say, yeah, I know him.
Yeah.
I mean, I got an 8-pin right here. Trump, I got a $20 bill on a beautiful Trump. Well, how many of you know him personally?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
No.
I know Jesus personally.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I talked to him this morning.
Yeah.
With Him. I'm telling you, the Bible says if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Yeah.
You want a fellowship with God, you have to get in the light.
Amen.
In Him is no darkness at all. There's no 50 shades of gray with God.
Yeah, come on.
Man, I'm glad He loves sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Mitchell, I thought it impossible at my end. It wasn't nothing to Him. Man, He done that so fast.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like that dog that He did. Biscuit I threw down, thought He forgot. Thought He missed it. I mean, but it happened so fast. I couldn't believe it. A moment, twinkling eye. I went from lost to saved. Amen. Let me say the good about what's going on in America right now. It's going on in the whole world.
Yes,
you know, this message is being recorded.
Yes.
And a lot of people in other countries will be listening to this message. They'll shout like we got 1,000 here.
Yeah.
Clap your hand all you want to. Well, we try to be orderly, but sometimes if you get the King of Heavens, don't worry about it. I get it myself every now and then. Hey, listen. The whole world is a trembling cup right now. They are.
That's right.
But you know what the last verse of the Old Testament says? The last verse of Malachi. Listen. and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. This earth done been cursed twice.
That's right.
I give these people this advice all the time, and I appreciate so much having Sister Sarah's parents here. But look, I tell them, don't need nothing about turning things over.
Right.
Man, this earth been cursed twice. Don't need a curse. Say, God, make this a blessing. I don't know that's where cancer comes from, but I'll tell you this, I hold on really need a blessing, need a curse. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So we always bow our heads and say, Lord, we ask your blessing on this thing we're about to receive.
Yeah.
Not only do you honor him when you do it, but I'll tell you what, it'll make a difference, I believe. And if you want to eat something bad, the Lord said even if they drink any poison thing, they'll feel no hurt. That's why you need to turn thanks, amen.
Amen.
You never know.
Amen.
I'm telling you, especially in these days, amen. I was telling my granddaughter yesterday, I said, if you got any idea what it'd be like to go to a fast food place,
amen,
and if somebody there got the coronavirus, and they caught on their hand, they wrap that hamburger that comes up to you, and here you are, and you take that thing, open it up, and you expose yourself to it. Oh man, I know days, be ready, honey. I'm telling you, we don't know how bad it's going to get.
That's right.
But the good is, it'll turn the heart.
Amen.
It'll help turn the hearts what it need to be.
Right.
I don't want another curse. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say this, children are a blessing from God. I've seen a lot of little children coming here this morning. Psalms 127, verse 3.
Yeah.
Little children are heritage from the Lord.
Yeah.
The fruit of the womb is his reward. Everybody can't have them. But I'll tell you one thing, you can't go to Walmart and get them either. They come from God. They're blessings sent down from
God.
How dare America take them to the abortion clinic, cleanse and slaughter them. I tell you what, I know God sees it because I told him down the way over here. There's not a sparrow that falls that his eyes doesn't see.
Right.
His eyes run to and fro and hurt by only the good and the evil. But I want you to know, some of this we're reaping what we've been sowing. You can't murder babies. You can't promote the gay lifestyle. You can't continue in all the violence and the wickedness this nation has embraced and not hear from heaven. Amen.
That's right.
I believe it's Nahum. Nahum chapter 2, I believe it is. I'll quote the verse. I think it's Nahum chapter 2, verse 2, that God has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm.
Yeah.
God's going to have his way one way or the other.
Yeah.
Can you imagine somebody arguing with a tornado and it's right there in the front yard and saying, I don't care who you are in coming here. I've seen some women probably do that. God has his way. Amen. In the whirlwind and in the storm and the nation about to drop in the bucket in his sight. I just want you to know, in mercy, amen, he's put up with some of this. But in judgment, amen, he's going to straighten it up. Amen.
Yeah.
I got a feeling church attendance is going to go up when it's all said and done.
Right.
Oh, these children, they bring happiness. Verse 5 of Psalms 127, happy is the man that's got his quiver full of them.
Right.
Boy, there ain't nothing better. Let me share this with you real quick. Let me see the official time. Oh, I got all kind of time. Oh, y'all in trouble. We got a little granddaughter. She's a tender plant. We love her, Miranda. Mm-hmm. One time she wasn't ever just a little thing, wasn't big as a minute. And we spoiled rotten. Well, yeah. I heard Pippin's sister said he spoiled diggings out of them to get her line. He said, send them home, if they don't come back, go get them, amen. But anyway, we spoiled her to death. She still makes me like a cow. Pop, how much cash she got on you? Took her to Dollar General store last night. One thing I noticed was they're cleaning them shells out of alcohol, hand sensitizer, toilet paper, stuff like that, just from panic.
Yeah.
But anyway, we get her like 3 days a week. See, that next verse, Proverbs 17:6, says, children's children are the crown of old men. You're right, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
The grandkids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the glory of the children are their fathers. I hit on that here in a minute. I want to finish this tale real quick. But this granddaughter, they was leaving, and I was waiting for them to leave, Sharon. My wife left with her. I thought, well, I got the whole house myself. We got a modest house, but it's a big house, old farmhouse. Then it's got two bathrooms. So I went back there to the bathroom back there, shut the door, and I had been in there 5 seconds. And I heard this real fast knock. Not just a knock. I mean, just one of them. I said, yeah. She said, Pop, you in there? I said, yeah, honey, I'm in here. How much longer are you going to be? I said, just a few minutes, honey. It wasn't 2 seconds. Pop, how much longer? I said, just a minute, honey. And then
I answered that door. She raised two little bony arms up. She said, I'm going to give you a kiss and a hug for a little. She left, went to the bedroom, spent about an hour in there crying. I said, well, I didn't get a word out. And when I finally couldn't get a word out, I said, thank you, Lord. How do you put a price on it? Yeah, I'll give her anything I got. Hey, it might cost you, you know.
Yeah.
They might cost you a grand. They're worth every penny of it. No wonder they call them grandkids. They'll spend, they'll nickel and dime you to death. She got moved up to big nickels now. And that's 20. Bobby got a 20. I got one, but I don't want to spend it. I said, okay. Oh, boy. You did the math on that. Well, anyway, just because of those little blessings right there.
Right.
See those little children. God sent them there to be a blessing.
Yeah.
Y'all probably never thought about this.
Right.
God gives you a chance to be a good father.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen.
Then if you mess it up, he gives you another chance. I'm going to give him another chance.
Yeah.
And if you live long enough, he said, I'm going to give him a third chance. Go give him some great grandkids. You know what? I found out my whole life, I've done God a little bit better, sir. I can put up with a whole lot more. I don't throw it up no more. You know what I said? Be all right, honey. Yeah. Well, you know, when I first had them first kids, I just didn't understand. I remember, he said, boy, if I know them grandkids going to be so good, I'd have had them first.
That's right.
That's a lot of truth in the statement there. But, you know, you just kind of get a little more seasoned. Yeah. You get a little more reservation. And you know what? You start realizing just how blessed you are.
That's right.
Can you imagine being an empty home, and there's no pitter-patter running down the hall that you've been used to hearing? And there's no knocks on the doors that you've been used to hearing. Listen, don't wait to the graveside to realize just how precious those blessings are. I've been there.
Right.
Amen.
We buried one in 1995. She lived 17 one week. Unknown to us, but known to God, it was her time to go home. Like I read in that book right there.
Amen.
And she was our youngest child. I was at my mom's, my wife was at the house, and she showed up unexpectedly, and I thought that was kind of strange, but I'm glad she did. She showed up unexpectedly, eat dinner with me, joy of the day. Wonderful. Talk about her boyfriend, friend. You know what I told her? I said, that old wormy thing, you like him? She said, hey, I really like him. And I tried to be courteous as a father. I said, you'll probably end up marrying old sorry thing. She said, I do really like him. I said, well, honey, I want you to know you got my blessing. And she did have my blessing. God forbid I should meddle in her life. But she talked about this boy, you know, and he meant all the world to her and everything. And she had her plans. And we spent that day, and it was a cherished moment. Even today it is. She got ready to leave, and before she went out the door, you know what she said, Joanne? She said, Dad, you got any money? And I realized then why she showed up to her. I said, yeah, honey. I got that billboard out, and I gave her some money. She said, Dad, that's too much. I said, I know it is, honey. You go on, you be careful. Dad loves you. She was careful. She wasn't. She went out to our house. She spent some time with her mom. Then she was going to go into town with one of her friends. And she didn't make it into town. That's kind of what, like the way our life is. We don't know what's on the bar.
No.
We ought to say, well, old big woman will do this or that.
That's right.
We don't, but we ought to. And you know what? On the way into town, there was a guy washing a truck, and the water was going across the road, and she hadn't been driving very long, even at the age of 17. She'd only been 17 a week. And I had brand new tires on the car, brand new brakes. It eased my mind to know I had made every effort to make sure all the safety that could be exerted to her car had been put forth. But when she hit that water, she overcorrected, lost control of the car, and it never put a scratch on her. It ruptured her spleen, and she bled to death internally. But let me say this. When you're picking out a coffin, it sure is good to know she got saved when she's 10 years old. I remember me and my wife, I'm holding her up, she's holding me up, and we're doing things we don't want to do. You never know what a day's going to hold.
Right.
And, you know, we're just trying to get this over with. The funeral director, he just tried to tell me, he said, Mr. Wade, I'm not trying to be mean. Part of my job is to tell you this. The further you go down this hall, the more expensive the coffins get. And I said, Mr., thank you. We're not interested in that. We just want to get this over. We want to get some closure here. But I'll tell you what, it was good to know we weren't without hope. She had gave her heart to Jesus at the age of 10 years old. She had left behind a testimony that where she'd be, boy, we'd find her. One day I'll catch up to her. Yeah. I just want you to know, I don't know how bad this is going to get. I don't know where all this is going to go. I don't know the effects it's going to have upon our schools, upon our churches, maybe upon our own home. I don't know. I just know one thing. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep me against what's coming, amen. I just tell you, beloved, trust in the Lord and be not ashamed. I'm telling you, if you're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you. Amen. Hey, listen. This blessing, it brings happiness, these little children.
That's right. Amen.
And I didn't quote the latter part of that verse, but I do want to right now. That Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men.
Yeah.
And I want to touch a little bit on the latter part of that verse. And the glory of the children of their fathers.
Yeah, that's right.
They won't look up to their dad.
Yeah, that's right.
They think you hung the moon. They think you can fix anything. They say, Dad can fix it. Well, the dad gets home, it'll be all right. Mm. You see, God give the father that exalted position. And I say this to all you fathers. Don't fail the expectation of your children.
Right.
Give them always a reason to look up to you.
Right.
Give them always encouragement and provoke them in love. Choose your words carefully.
Yes, right.
They're tough, boy. When they're not seasoned with grace, you've got to swallow them and eat them later on. What do you mean by that, Brother Eddie? That same little girl? Here's what I mean by that. Come home from work one day, and that little girl had my plate all fixed right there. She had me a big glass of iced tea right there. And I sat down thinking, okay, what's up? I ate that meal, Sarah. I drank that tea. She took my plate. She took my glass of tea. And then she come and sit back again across from me. She had planned this.
Right.
She said, Daddy, amen, can I please have permission to go with my friends to the ball game this Saturday? I failed miserably.
Bless
you, Lord. Give him that. Have that moment back. I wish I could have said, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I wish I could have said, maybe. I wish I'd said something like, we'll see, honey. But it was so convenient just to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw how much it meant to her. And I realized how miserably I failed.
Amen.
I had no idea how much this had meant to her. How hard she had worked to get my permission. I got it on a slow train, but I got it. And I was so full of pride, I couldn't go back here and say, I made a mistake. I'm sorry, honey. You go ahead and go.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with us?
That's right.
Choose your words carefully. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you only get one chance.
That's right.
Mm. Mm. Oh my. Whole song says, count your many blessings.
Right.
Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I noticed in this book a song I couldn't find nowhere on the internet. That's our shame. I'm glad this church still got it in.
Right.
I'm not much of a singer, so y'all can just bear with me here just a little bit. But I already had it in my heart that I was going to try to wing this song. I'm glad I found it in this song, but I couldn't find it. You bear with me. I don't know about tomorrow. I'm just going to sing the last verse. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds a sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Y'all can tell I'm not a singer, but I'll tell you what, I was glad to find that song, how true that song is. I don't know how bad it's going to get. I just know
who's in charge.
That's it.
That's right.
What you got to remember.
And then,
I know it's well, my soul.
Yeah.
Oh, good to go. If I go today, somebody will try to lie to you and tell you I'm dead. I'll be alive more than I've ever been.
Right. Amen.
Let me over these itching and we're done. Remember these truths, beloved. God's still on the throne. He conquered death at Calvary. His hand's still outstretched. His mercies are sure. His love is real. His help is real. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He's a refuge for the helpless and the hurting. He makes a difference in things like this coronavirus. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And those that believe in Him shall never die. John 11:26. Mm-hmm. Knowing these things, what kind of persons ought we to be? Peter said. I don't know about you, I know about old Brother Eddie. But I'm fixing to call Brother Jerry and Sister Sharon to get her to come to the piano and get him to sing a verse of invitation on him. But as I ask them to come, I'd like to ask you to stand. I want you to think about what's been said today. In light of the events that's going on in our country right now, is it well with your soul? If it's not well with your soul, today be a good day. Amen. To say, Brother Eddie, will you please pray with me? I can't pray for you, but I can pray with you. Yes. I'll be glad to.
Yeah.
You know, Pilate, he said, what shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? You're going to have to do something with him. He's either going to be your judge or he's going to be your Savior. Mm-hmm. And that will determine what you do with this Jesus. Well, anyway, if it's not well with your soul, why don't you come up here today, get it fixed. Amen.
Number 203. First two verses.